Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple. Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church.
Hey, welcome to the show today. I'm Tom LeCompte.
And I'm Gavin Durson. Glad you're back here. I don't know what episode this is, but it's been a lot.
Three-digit number.
Hey, this is a podcast. If you're new here, we are dedicated to helping folks figure out life with Christ outside of your more traditional church experiences. We've got all kinds of folks that check in here, and we've enjoyed getting to know over the years, but we really call it Keep It Simple because Tom and I are advocates of simplifying our faith and church life such that it's very built on relationship, not so much on structures and programs. But
it's also built on God's Word, and we're trying to look at God's Word. What did the original apostles do, and what are we doing now, and how's that changed?
Yeah, and what does it mean for today?
What does it mean for today? Can we go back and do some of those things that we used to do, or they used to do, and still turn the world upside down?
Yeah, might there be things that we have done and adopted over the years that have been more cultural and more out of convenience and maybe not even wrong for the time period that they were adopted? But what about folks who are looking at this thing and saying, I'm seeing church lived in one way and church life looking like one thing in the New Testament, and then I'm seeing it on my experiences here in North America and on the street corner and with my family and friends, and I'm seeing a disconnect. I'm seeing church looking one way here in the Bible, and then I'm going to these churches that talk about believing the Bible, but everything we're doing doesn't really seem to have its roots in the Scripture. The activities, the obligations, the commitments, the budget meetings, the buildings, the programs, all of these things, while it could be good, it doesn't seem as though they're absolutely necessary for me to be a part of this thing that Jesus calls his church, his bride. And so those are the things we talk about. So if that's something that interests you, we're glad you're here. Tom, yeah. Why don't you jump us into the topic today?
Okay. Well, about a month ago, one of my respected pastors that I sometimes listen to, grew up listening to, came out with a statement that I want to discuss, and I want to kind of frame it in a way that doesn't do anyone discredit or injustice. But
and we're not going to read the whole thing.
Oh no!
But
no.
We can link it
we're
up.
We're just going to give a synopsis. Yep. But anyway, I've been a Christian all my life, and for the past 10, 15, maybe 20 years, the face of evangelical Christianity is changed. Would you agree with that? Or
yeah, of course. You know, back then I was only a wee little child. I'm not near as your age.
And, yeah.
But
right.
So I might not be qualified to talk about that. No, I would agree.
It's changed. The Christian I was 25 years ago, I don't think anyone would like. I'll put it that way. I was pretty fierce in my convictions, and I was very outspoken, and I probably ticked a lot of people off just by comments I made and things I said. But, you know, I had my convictions. So basically, well, let me try to rephrase this. I'll probably heavily edit this. So about a month ago, a pastor named John MacArthur came out with he and several others published a statement on social justice, and I'm not going to read it to you. We'll put the link up so you can go check it out. But basically, what it says is, you know, social justice is very important, but beware that the people who are pushing these social justice issues are not overshadowing the basic message of the gospel, where Jesus died for our sins to forgive us of our sins and to enable us to live with Him forever. So, you know, there's this eternal perspective that we often don't pay much attention to, that's being overshadowed by the short-term perspective of, hey, let's have our best life now. Let's do away with injustice. Let's do away with poverty. Let's do away with let's enable, let's empower people. Those are all important, and most of them are good, but some of this is overshadowing the gospel. I think that's the point he was trying to make. Some of this is overshadowing the gospel. The gospel is paramount. Social justice is important. Let's keep things in perspective. So it's caused a lot of discussion, or maybe it hasn't. It's been overshadowed by the politics that here, but it caused me to think things through. And I'm going to call up a Bible verse here from Micah chapter 6. He has shown you, O man, what is good. You're talking about God. God has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So God is very, very much interested in justice on an individual basis, on a collective basis, systematic basis. He's very interested in justice. That's, you know, he's not just wanting to pluck people from this earth and bring them to heaven. So he's interested in how we treat our fellow man. He's interested in what we do to one another. You know, the commandments, the law, is boiled down to two main commandments: love God with all your heart, soul, strength, might, and the other is love your neighbor as yourself. So if we look at that as a pendulum, and we look at how I even hesitate the word evangelical Christianity, because evangelical is a loaded word lately, but just, you know, basic Christianity has wielded that pendulum. You know, sometimes we lean towards the love God with all your heart, soul, mind, you know, and that means, you know, get the doctrine right, study the word, you know, serve God, obey God. The other side of the pendulum, as it swings, is, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, is, you know, love your neighbor and try to make this world a better place for your neighbor. Try to eradicate the negative things in this world and make it a heaven on earth. So how does that pendulum swing, and where is it now, and where should it be, and how do we find a balance? Those are the questions that this statement has caused me to ask myself and to ask other Christians. So I don't know, what do you think about that?
Oh, well, I want to acknowledge a couple of things. First and foremost, biases I have in this conversation. You know, it's funny. When I hear the name John MacArthur, there's a couple things that come to my mind. One, I remember in college.
Some people are cringing and some people are going, yeah.
Well, I remember. John. Well, that's the funny thing about it to me. I when I was in college, I remember reading some things and it was very good, and I loved it. And I've never really read anything. I don't read a lot of John MacArthur things, but I've never read anything that he's written. I haven't read this statement you're talking about, so I'm kind of talking from what you're sharing me, but. I've never really read anything. It's like, oh, man, this is crazy. I hate this. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He's off the chain. You know, it's all seemed to be good. He's obviously been a blessing to a lot of people and challenged people, challenged you, challenged me in college and others. But I have had two relationships with folks that almost, I remember telling this one guy, I was like, man, it's like after spending a lot of time with this guy, I was like, man, you know, I've never had any reason not to like John MacArthur, and never read anything he's written or said that's really bothered me. But man, you talk about him so much, I'm starting to not like the guy, because it was like everything was John MacArthur, and it was very like, this is what John MacArthur says. This is what, you know. And I think some people like that who are, you know, have a real gift of wisdom, of studying the scriptures, and a lot of insight. You know, they, you know. We have this thing where we love to latch on to people that are and put our trust in them, and I'm not going to say that it's happened all in these folks, but we all have people that have impacted us. They've discipled us in a sense, and I think that's a weird thing in our day and age. It's like we have folks that have since kind of been a part of our discipleship especially intellectually, maybe, that live across the world, we don't even know they don't even know us, you know. Mm-hmm. Right. So we feel attachment to these people, and we feel as though, and they have in many ways, like, been very significant in our faith, but we just don't have a relationship with them. So sometimes that kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies. But, you know, I think I will say that as a matter of full disclosure, that I'm trying not to let that color my opinion about all this, because, right, again, I haven't even read it. But I think I just in general, I've, you know, my feeling about this statement, whether it be, you know, the issue of social justice versus the gospel, all these, this may not even be the direction you want to go with this conversation, Tom, but it's just what my thoughts are. Yeah, so I'm going to shoot them to you.
I don't want to put it as a versus.
Yeah. You know? So my issue is sort of a lot of times with, you know, I've made statements, I'll say things, and that's, you know, it's with the folks that know me, we say, this is, you know, hey, this is what I believe there's a place for saying these what I believe, but I'm just kind of I feel kind of done or frustrated with the whole, like, we're going to make a public statement about what we believe and we're going to get all these people to sign it, you know, and this is, it's like, I really believe that we can entrust the scriptures to help people sort these things out for themselves. And we can just say, look at this, like, do we really need to add, like, can the Holy Spirit not give us wisdom on this dilemma? And might it look different in this state or in this time of my life or in this situation or with this relationship or with this opportunity or with this opportunity? Might it vary week to week? Cannot the Holy Spirit guide us and direct us to navigate this out? You know, I think that we feel this need. And this is a lot of what denomination, I think, is even built on, to make statements that say, this is what we're going to believe about this issue, this is how it looks, this is what we do, this is what we don't believe, this is what we're not going to do. And all those things do, just, they fraction people out. And I think sometimes it's born from a sense of, like, man, do we not trust God to sort this out for people on their own? Do we need people to agree to this? And I don't know, I mean, I don't want to question people's motives. I mean, God gives us all, like, wisdom, and we teach that to people, and sometimes other people take what we teach and they elevate it to some big creedal thing that maybe it wasn't even intended to be. But I just feel like we're not helping people a lot of times, the people that are outside of the you know, looking at us and saying, hey, you know, we're all about making statements about what we are for and against. And again, as we talked about in the last podcast, a lot of times it's, if that's not talked about or discussed in the context of love, like, then I don't know if it's helpful always.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I don't want to make this podcast centered on that statement. What I want to do is use that situation where the statement was written to springboard into conversations that are going to take place in among Christians and among,
yeah,
you know, small groups, among house churches, things like that. And I was using, I was talking to Gavin earlier. To me, and, you know, in my mind, and this may not be the case, but to me, when you have organized churches, organized denominations, you're going to walk into that church, walk through that door into those church walls, and that church is going to have a culture that embraces one side of that pendulum more than the other. So yeah, you're going to walk into a church that says, well, we have this strong statement of faith, and we study the Bible, and we, you know, we have this doctrine that we fiercely protect, and we, you know, we contend for the faith. We contend for the faith once given to the saints.
Yeah.
And that's what this church is about. And maybe they're not so good, or maybe they're kind of blind to what's going on around them. You know, maybe they're not doing much for the poor. Maybe they're not trying to address social issues. And then you have you walk into another church and it's like, Bible, yeah, what's that? That's just a, yeah, book, you know. Hey, let's feed the poor. Let's yeah, empower women. Let's embrace gay marriage. Let's do that. Let's do these things that help make this planet better, you know, if that's really the case.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm talking about, the pendulum, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, God has called us into balance, you know, not a swing, but God has called us. There is truth. There is, yeah, true truth. It's true forever, eternally. And, you know, we need to embrace that truth. But then again, you know, God expects us to, you know, visit the prisoners, you know, like all those things in Matthew 25, feed the poor, heal the sick, things like that. If we're not doing those things, then, you know, what kind of Christianity is that? What kind of example is that? Yeah. So there's that balance that we have to embrace, and these are conversations that are going to come up in your house church, in your organic church, let alone the church's big picture. And to me, having a group of people in a house church, as opposed to going to those denominational or established churches, it seems like the culture's not really there. You're gonna come up with your own culture, and it's gonna be based on what you collectively believe. So that's the importance of these conversations.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when you're hearing you talking about that, you know, it's sort of, you know, the picture I have is, man, I think that simple church, house church, if you know that I want to be a part of, it is a place where actually that pendulum has freedom to swing, because in the group, you know, because there is a, you know, there's an attention here rather than saying we've got the, you know, I think in a house church, because there's not boards and meetings and money and all these things tied into it, that you have to protect an image, protect a denomination, protect it, you know, like there's a freedom there and a belief that, man, the Lord, you know, that pendulum is going to be swinging in all of our lives about these issues, and it's going to be broad at times, and it's going to hopefully get more narrow as we get zeroed in on the truth of God's word and what it is. Sometimes that pendulum comes to a halt quickly, and, you know, there's some things that God can but there's a lot of issues that over the course of our life, that pendulum can have the freedom to swing back and forth, and we can still walk with each other in fellowship, and it might, a culture of a particular house church, it might ebb and flow as the Lord leads and guides and teaches and brings people to His truth, you know. And I think that's the good thing. That's a good thing about simple church. Like, there's not this pressure expectation. Like, man, like, you know, in many ways, most of the simple churches I know, it's like when you're not dealing with experts and professionals, like it's mostly a lot of normal folks are saying, man, like, we're trying to figure this out, you know, and we, you know, there's some things we know are true. There's a lot of things that we have differences on, and we have humility about that to say, you know, like, man, I kind of lean this way, but this person kind of leans this way, and we're working through these things together, and we love each other, and we're going to hopefully look to Christ for the answers. Right. We're going to look to the Word for the answers, and that, you know, that's going to lead us down a journey that might look different in one group as opposed to the other. But to me, the issue is like, man, are we looking to Christ for the truth and for the answers of how to work these out? And I think that so much of this, sometimes, Tom, and you tell me what you think, but I've just grown to a place in my life where I really think, you know, most of us, we kind of think, well, once I get my ducks in a row, then the Christian life will begin. And I've just probably switched to gain such an appreciation for the process of things, of, you know, like, it may be like even like you wrestling through this issue, it's drawn you to God. It's drawn you to have conversation with Him about it. You know, like, that may be what God really wants, like, for you, is to work through that with Him. And
not just me, but others.
Yeah. And not just, you know, it's that process that he may be more interested in than just getting to the end, so that now you can really start being a Christian in the right way that you should be. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, right. And getting it right. Like, you know, and I think that when we in a house church, you know, we can really embrace that, you know, because we're not trying to, you know, it is a conversation that we're engaging in, and we're not so concerned with eliminating all the people who may have a view that's contrary to what we believe, you know, or what is believed. Like, there's freedom to bring that, and then we're saying we're going to trust Jesus with this process over time to bring us all to the truth. We are looking to Him for truth. Like, this isn't a place where we're coming, we're looking to Buddha, we're looking to science. Like, we're here because of Jesus Christ,
right,
and the gospel, and we're looking to Him for the answers, for our understanding of these, of whatever the issue might be. But there is a freedom there for that pendulum to swing as a group, but in mm-hmm. individuals, you know. And I think that we can really meet people where they are.
Yeah, yeah. And in my mind, you know, what I would like to see, and to me it's all about balance, and yeah, that pendulum's going to swing. But right now the arc is very wide. I mean, it's almost 180 degrees, you know, from one side to the other. I think
with
a balance,
this particular issue?
Well, with any issue. I mean, any issue. It's like there's God's way, you know, the biblical. I mean, there is a biblical way.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, just to be clear, you're talking about kind of in America, not necessarily your house church.
No. Yeah, and I'm talking about American evangelicalism.
Yeah.
You know, there's a wide arc in the difference between, hey, let's follow the Bible, let's believe the Bible, let's study its truth and follow Christ, and then to the exclusion of all else. And then the other arc is, hey, let's serve our brother man to the exclusion. The Bible's not important. So my big concern is let's narrow that arc. You know, like you said, there is some play. There is some wiggle room. There is some arc there. But it should be, you know, a lot narrower than 180 degrees.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Again, everything is balanced.
Yeah.
And you're going to serve your fellow man, but you're going to do it because Christ compels you to do it. And because, you know, you have an eternal perspective in mind, and that you hope this person that you're serving may someday have that same eternal perspective, and you may be unified, you know, union in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so, but I guess...
But even if it doesn't, I mean, you're still doing the right thing.
I guess for me, you know, I'm probably thinking more of on a micro level, and you're maybe thinking more of a macro, because to me, when I think about this issue, you know, I think about my church family, my house church family, and it's like in our group, like, I don't think the pendulum is that wide.
No, it's very narrow in our group.
And so beyond that...
But it might lean one way or the other.
Yeah, and it, you know, maybe individual here might have a different, you know, view or this, but, you know, I guess for me, I don't know, you know, I don't know that I'm going to be able to, or I, as far as practically speaking, like, what can I do to change as far as evangelical Christianity in America? It's mostly going to be within my house church, the few that God's put in my life, and hopefully help them. You know, we can learn together, and then we can raise other spiritual families that will learn together, and we'll be focused on the truth, and we'll be learning to listen to God and let Him navigate us through these issues. You know,
it's got to start with me and my church. It's got to, you know, I have to have the right perspective, and I have to have the right balance. And but I'm looking for that too.
But again, you know, we've probably talked about this on the show before. You know, I think one thing that, again, like, I remember, like, statements like this one or others. Like, I used to really believe that to be a mature Christian, to have maturity as a Christian, primarily was about intellectually understanding God and who He is. It was primarily about theology. Like, to maturity equaled,
I believe these
issues, and I've went through, I made my list here. I've got, you know, end times. I've got, you know, women in ministry. I've got, you know, all these different issues of the church. And okay, boom, boom, boom. Here's the different viewpoints. Okay, I'm mature now because I can say with confidence that I know exactly what the truth is about each of these subset of issues that come up in conversations around Christians. And that now I'm mature. And that was the goal. If I wasn't mature, it's like, man, I really need to learn more about this and know exactly. And I think that's important. And I'm not saying that's not important.
Right.
But I think
applying that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happens when you meet somebody on the street that needs help or needs some kind of issue resolved in a biblical way? You know, that's when the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, am I because of God's because of my relationship with God, like, I'm walking in obedience to Him, and I'm loving people, and I'm, you know, God, that to me, it's like, we've said this, you know, it's like, man, I think sometimes the most mature Christians are the ones that are the newest Christian, you know, the new Christians, like, man, they're, you know, those guys, they haven't learned enough yet that it's not cool to do certain things or to live a certain way. They're just living out of that intense born again experience that they've had, and and they're not caring about anything else, you know, and they don't know a lot about a lot of things, you know, but they know that God's changed their life. He's invaded their life and forgiven them. And, and man, I mean, to me, that's, you know, maturity. Like, you know,
God always starts where you're at. Right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, we've talked about this before, like, you know, it sort of reminds me of the conversation we've talked about, the bullet test, you know, and I think all of us might, you know, for me, what would I be willing, if someone put a gun to my head and said, here is my statement of faith, agree to it or die, you know, like, what issues on that statement of faith am I willing to say, I'm not changing my view on that, kill me. You know, like, or what, and that to me, you know, when you look at it that way, the issues that I'm willing to die for, the things that I would be willing to say, okay, I'm not so sure about that. I'm willing to entertain that conversation. You know, what are the things that I would not be willing, that I'm firmly, my feet are firm on, that I'm not willing to back down from, I'm not willing to entertain a conversation about. I mean, that list shrinks up considerably when you think about that, you know? And I think if we think in that way, then it gives us grace for people who may be outside or whose pendulum might be swinging wide on certain things. But it also helps us to focus on Christ as the centerpiece of all things, that of all answers, and we can still have fellowship with folks, but we still have those kind of core issues that we're not willing to compromise.
Right, and the same goes with social issues. I mean, there are some people that says, you know, any social issue or any social injustice is worth fighting for, and I disagree with that, because there are social issues that I don't want to touch with a 10-foot pole. As a Christian, and I don't mean that I'm going to ignore them, but I'm saying I'm not going to embrace what the common concept of justice would be. You know, for example, you know, in the sexuality issue, you know, there are certain issues and behaviors that you know, a Christian has to believe the right things and act accordingly on, and I don't know if I need to get specific. If I need to, I will. But
well, I, you know, again, like, I think that, like, when it comes to these issues, like social justice or whatever the issue might be,
I guess what I'm saying is some of these social issues are not biblical.
Yeah.
And Christians don't need to get behind them.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I don't know what the statement is saying, but, you know, I think I could probably guess, and I believe, this is what I believe, like, that to simply talk about social issues or the, you know, whatever's in the news, politics, whatever, like, the answer is always in the power of the cross to transform hearts and minds and give people the ability to change and it is an inward change that manifests itself out in, like, outward things, beliefs, actions, etc. And to just go down that road to say, well, you know, we really need to go and work with these women that have been abused, that's what our whole church needs to be about, that would be awesome. And there, God may very well lead a church, a house church or otherwise, to say, man, God's called us to have a ministry to these folks. But you can't leave the gospel out. I mean, like, the only, like, to just maybe help them get, you know, some counseling and I mean, that could be helpful. But in that mix, like, if it's not about the power of Christ to be able to change and transform and heal and forgive and provide forgiveness for other people, like what are we really doing, man? We're not doing, you know, that's not what Christ was about.
Yeah, I guess I need to retract that statement and say and rephrase it. It's like, we don't need to not get involved. We just need to get involved in a way that reflects a Christ-centered response.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I probably have to edit this, but a lot. But we need to get involved in every issue.
Yeah.
But we can't support every issue the way that social justice warriors, you know, expect us to support and still be biblical.
Well, there's no doubt that, like, again, like, you know, there's no doubt that our culture right now is hot on social issues, and there's a very clear way, like what it means to care about social issues. You know, the world has painted a very clear picture of what it means to care about social issues. And if you're not signing up on this petition, you're not showing up for this thing, you're not carrying this sign, you don't come to this rally, then you don't care. Yeah. Then you don't care. And if you're a Christian, how can you not care? But the reality of it is that, that man, most of these issues, and you know, you and I have shared personal stories before, but like, you know, I could share a story right now about a very hot social issue that you know, we didn't go to any rally, we didn't go to sign up on anything, donate any money to some organization about it, but man, our church has been very involved in loving folks through what might be a very hot social issue, you know. And it's in the context of the relationships that God's given us, and it's I'll even say this that, you know, I don't know that we need a statement from someone to sign to say this is what we're going to do. I mean, the scriptures are pretty clear, and if we seek God and we depend on Him for wisdom on how to love and how to help bring people to truth and help share truth with people in the given their situation, God will guide us. He'll give us direction on that. He knows exactly what people need and what they don't need, and it's not a one size fits all. And I think that we can really lean on Him for that.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right. Well, I hope this generates some conversations among you, and I hope that you talk amongst yourselves about these issues and even have some lively debates. But I hope at the end of the day that you're going to look to God, look to the Holy Spirit for answers. What do I need to do in this specific situation? And I think the Holy Spirit's going to be consistent with you and with your answers. So again, I hope you have some good conversation. I hope this influences you to go out there and do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with your God.
Yeah, and I think it relates, you know, without maybe repeating myself, just to restate it, you know, like this conversation's good, and it's important, and it's important to people in house church and simple church, because most of us there is this tendency, if you're coming out of traditional churches, where we've sort of been conditioned to say, like, well, we need to hear from our pastor on how we're going to view this issue, or how are we supposed to respond, or what is the denomination? We're a part of this denomination because when it comes to these issues, this is what they believe, and that's why we're here. You know, and it's sort of this idea, and that in house church, it's upside down. It's different. It's saying, you know what, like we're here, but we're looking to Christ for wisdom, and there's going to be difference in that, and we've got to learn to sit down and cross a table and break bread with people whom may not have been, you know, that they're not there because this house church put out a sign saying these are our 5 points of belief on these social issues. Like, you're going to encounter close up, impersonal people that hold vastly different views from you, that view these issues, and their pendulum swinging a lot broader than yours is, and we have to figure out, Lord, give us wisdom on how to navigate this together, and we have to be willing to believe that there actually could be good that could come from that tension and from that diversity, but that if we keep Christ at the center and we look to Him for answers in all things in His Word, then God can and will lead and direct us through these things. We don't need necessarily to have that. We might read what other people are saying. We might, like you've done, we might wrestle with those things and take those into account, those that God's given the body of Christ to have wisdom and discernment. But it's all under that context of Christ is the head.
We'd love to hear some feedback from you guys.
Thanks for joining us. This is Keep It Simple podcast. We'll be back next time with some more conversations.
Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments.